Yeah, buddy, it's hour number three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan, Brian Schottenheimer, officially introduced as head coach to the Cowboys fans 5 hours ago right here on The Fan. And we'll talk more about it now with John Owning, editor at Pro Football Focus. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Doing great. Cannot complain. How about you, fellas?
Man, about the same. You know, hoping for the best. Now, Shoddy today, in his own words, saying he likes shifts, he likes cut splits, and he likes motions. Do these words, should they excite Cowboys fans, John?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so, especially in the Mike McCarthy era. The Cowboys were below average, I think, almost every year in the rate of motions, motion at the snap, shifts. I mean, a lot of the motions that the Cowboys used were a lot of just window dressing with guys, you know, walking or jogging across the formation, getting set before the snap. They're not really stressing opposing defenses. And I think Shoddy kind of talked about the ability to stress defenses using those shifts, those motions, using tempo, all these different type of things that can kind of just make life more difficult for the defense, you know, make things more difficult on the second level defenders, make them have to adjust post snap. Those type of things, I think, are some of core tenets of some of the best offenses in the NFL. And I think there's something we're going to see, especially in the Super Bowl, with teams like the Chiefs and the Eagles who really use those concepts a lot.
Yeah, John, you know, I don't think anybody plays with more width in their formations than the Cowboys. I think we're the widest playing team. So that when you talk about the cut splits and things like that, those will definitely, you know, playing with a little bit more condensed formations. These teams that seem like they're having success off their play action games and stuff like that are far more condensed than teams who are playing with these wide splits.
And I think a reason for that is because when you use those condensed splits, those condensed formations, is the receivers are adding on so much more in the run game. They're making you know, blocks on second level defenders. They're trying to cut off the Mike or cut off the Sam when you're trying to get outside and stuff like that. And I think when you add the receivers into the blocking game, that means that the stems of the routes on play actions, if they look a lot in the same vein as what a block may look like, then that's how you create those big giant holes, those giant separation on those play action passes type things. And I think that's what Shoddy was really alluding to when he was saying that the passes and the runs are going to look a lot like each other in his schemes. And I think that's going to only mean good things for the Cowboys if that's actually what, you know, becomes of the offense once the season goes here. I mean, everybody has heard the, you know, false promises of offensive coordinators and head coaches of years past, and it never came to fruition. So it's great to hear it now, but I think I'm speaking for everybody when I say, you know, I want to see it. I want to see it in training camp. I want to see it in the preseason. I want to see it in the regular season. I don't want to wait until after, you know, the bye week when the Cowboys are 2-4, you know, until they finally introduce those type of concepts into the offense.
Yeah, we've heard these promises before, John, so I'm with you on that. And I understand how the hire might be underwhelming for a lot of people, but I also think that this is a lot of the stuff that we've been asking for. And I think a fair amount of optimism about, you know, watching them take their shot at that should, you know, is well placed right now. How would you quantify it, though? Like, what is that potentially worth if the Cowboys would add that? What's the ceiling on how much that can improve you?
I think it's difficult to know because, you know, like in the NFL, there's so many different parts that play such a huge point. But I'm always someone that you want to kind of grease the edges. You want to always get those, try to take advantage of those little advantages that you can get throughout a game. You know, using motion and using these condensed formations, they don't promise effective offensive in and of themselves, but they give you a better opportunity to be successful on a more consistent basis. And I think if the Cowboys are more consistent, you know, in the past, they've kind of been beating up on the cans of the NFL and not been able to be productive against the top flight defenses. Using these types of concepts and these types of like formations, these types of play style, I think those are types of things that can allow them to be more consistent against these better offenses. So I think you'll see, I think in the best case, you're going to see less of a drop off between how they perform against kind of the rudimentary teams versus how they perform against the elite defenses.
John, one thing Shoddy said during the presser today was that he had led the NFL in rushing twice during his tenure as an offensive coordinator. One other note from Jonathan Jones was that the Cowboys could be looking at Clayton Adams, Cardinals offensive line coach, to slide into the offensive coordinator role. How could that really help and improve the running game? Because I think schematically, we've all been looking at this Cowboys rushing attack and say it's very basic.
Yeah, I think the Clayton Adams interview in particular is really interesting because the Arizona Cardinals run game since he came in 2023 has been one of the most varied in the NFL, and especially much more varied than the Cowboys have been the last 2 years. I mean, the Cardinals have used four different play concepts at least 20% or at least 15% of the time. They use inside zone 19% of the runs, man concepts 18%. Outside zone, 17.5%, counters, 15.9%, pool leads, 14.2%. So you see how much versatility and diversity there is in the run game, and they're doing these misdirections. I think that especially the introduction of more counters, I mean, the Cowboys were one of the teams that used counters least frequently last couple years, and the Cardinals have been towards the top. And I just love those kind of misdirection plays that give your offensive linemen up front better angles to the second level, because when you're running a counter play, you know, the tailback in the backfield is taking a step against where he's actually going to run. And that in when you draw it up, that's going to cause the linebackers to take one false step to the weak side. And that's going to give your offensive lineman, you know, depending on what front it is, the center or the backside guard or the front side guard, to climb up to the second level. And it gives him just a half tick of second more time to be able to get that cutoff and, you know, turn into bigger running lanes, give somebody like Rico Dowdle a better runway to get to the second level. I think all those type of things are very important, and I think they would be very beneficial for a Cowboys run scheme that they need to, you know, since we don't have the best offensive line in the NFL, yeah, you've got to scheme it up for them and make it easier for them, make the angles to the second level a lot easier, you know, kind of those things that we've seen Shanahan evolve himself into from just an outside zone guy.
Yeah, John, it's that pin and pull stuff. I mean, we watched Arizona just kill Dallas in like a week three or week four game a couple years ago with that pin and pull. But you think also, too, with the offensive line not being as good, but it seems like it has some elements of some guys that kind of can play that way, that can get out in space and do that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Especially, you know, guys like Tyler Smith, they get out and they're really effective as lead blockers, you know, on pulls, whether they're kicking out or they're leading through the hole. I think Brock Hoffman is someone who moves well. Cooper Beebe is someone who moves well. I think that's something we saw when Zach Martin went out, was because of the injuries that he's been dealing with, is he couldn't really move well. He couldn't really get out there in front and really generate those kickouts or those leads up the hole to create those big running lanes. And I think kind of the way the Cowboys offensive line is now, the direction it's headed with these young guys, these athletic guys like Guyton, Steele, Beebe, Tyler Smith, Brock Hoffman, TJ Bass. I think this definitely type of diverse approach, I think, lends itself to the skill set of their offensive line as a whole. And I think it's something that's going to be important to keep in mind, especially for the draft this year as well.
John Owning, Pro Football Focus, with us here in the Nation. Looks like Eberflus is going to get the gig as defensive coordinator. What would you say are the biggest differences between him and Zim, and how do you expect him to use Micah?
Oh, completely different. I mean, if we're going to judge them based on what they've done in the past, they're just completely different philosophies on defense, completely different, you know, just they show different pictures. You know, Eberflus's defense over 70% of the time with the Bears and with the Colts in his tenures, they played static defenses, meaning if they had one safety high pre-snap, there's going to be one safety high post-snap. If there's two safeties high pre-snap, it's going to be two safeties high post-snap. He's someone who likes to play that bend but don't break kind of Marinelli style, where we saw Vader Zim. He was a little bit more aggressive on a down-by-down basis. He was ability to move people around the formation, create different looks, mug the A gaps, those type of things. Eberflus is much more, you know, alignment, assignment, keep it simple, allow my guys to play fast, make plays, and create turnovers. Kind of that whole Rod Marinelli style of defense. They're going to play a lot of under fronts. So that means the under tackle, the defense, the three technique is going to be uber important, because the whole purpose of the under front is to give the three technique one-on-ones. So someone like an Osa Odighizuo would be great for that, or, you know, whoever they decide to replace him with if he leaves for greener pastures in free agency. So, you know, I'm a little bit worried about Eberflus. I think he's someone who's a good name, like he's had success as a defensive coordinator, but I'm a little bit questionable on how his scheme really fits the defense. I was kind of looking for them to keep pushing toward that Zimmer direction, even if he wasn't going to be the defensive coordinator. You know, that aggressive, creative style on third down, throw the kitchen sink at opposing QBs and see what happens, you know. So I'm a little bit worried about how Eberflus is going to mesh with the personnel the Cowboys have on defense.
You know, John, it's interesting you say that because, you know, Flus was a holdover from the Rob Ryan, you know, regime. Mm-hmm. And I was just curious, is he more Rob Ryan or is he more Rod Marinelli when it comes to, if I could ask you that question?
Yeah, I mean, if we're just basing on the way he's called defenses in the past, and who knows if he, you know, has that Rob Ryan Rolodex still in his back pocket that he can pull out. He just hasn't had the personnel to use that.
Sure.
But with the Colts and the Bears, he was totally a Rod Marinelli style defense. It was the 100% four down. We're going to play under front. We're going to play a kind of conservative coverage style, keep everything in front of us, limit big plays, rally to turnovers, everybody rally to the ball, those type of things. Try to be strong up front, use big defensive ends to stop the run, those type of things. So he's definitely – that's the thing that's been interesting is when I've, you know, brought up Eberflus and how similar his defenses have been to Rod Marinelli, I've been getting a lot of responses just like you asking, like, but what about his time with Rob Ryan? He was kind of a Rob Ryan guy. Is he someone he can even implement a 3-4? He can implement a blitz-heavy team. And while they did blitz a little bit more with Chicago, I think that was more because they just didn't have the cats to generate pressure from a four-down alignment. You know, they didn't have, until they got Montez Sweat, they really didn't have anybody that could generate a pass rush and win one-on-one situation. So I'm not sure if that was something more of, you know, that he did because he had to, or if it's something that he wants to do frequently. But if you wanted to judge this whole entire defensive coordinator or play calling experience on the defensive side of the ball, definitely much more of a Marinelli style.
So, John, okay, so you say Marinelli style, but when you said something about big defensive ends, and, man, I feel like that we've been watching, I know in the draft, a lot of these, like, 285, 290-pound guys, kind of like there's a bendy group and there's a non-bendy group. You think he lends towards the non-bendy group, like those Ohio State kids, maybe with the Texas A&M kids? Which way do you think they would lean then for him?
Yeah, definitely for the strong side defensive end, for, you know, that DeMarcus Lawrence style defensive end. He wants the bigger guys. You know, that's why he traded for a Montez Sweat. That's why he drafted guys. I think he drafted, what was his name, Jalen Holmes from Ohio State when he was with Colts, who was a bigger defensive end.
Yeah.
Played the run well. He was that's why I think he's going to be someone who's going to really fall in love with Texas A&M's, you know, Shamar Stewart, who's you know, big 6'5", 281.
Yeah, they're
morning.
Both. Yeah, him and Skorton are both big. Yeah, yeah, they're big dudes.
Insane, and it's just, and for a team like the Cowboys, you know, who have struggled defending the run, I see why that's beneficial to have, you know, especially on that strong side when you're going against double teams between tackle and tight end so much, to have that big strong guy that can set the edge, turn everything inside, and make it easier for the rest of your one gap defense to have success and generate stops. So I totally understand that, and especially because we already have a guy like Micah who's kind of already fits that bendy weak side profile. I definitely think he's going to be looking to try to find those bigger, stronger defensive ends in the draft or even in free agency if that's the way the Cowboys decide to go.
So you're not down for my guy Mike Green then?
I mean, I'm personally down. I would love it. You know, I'm riding that train as hard as I can. I think he is fantastic. But I'm not sure. I mean,
did he weigh like 230?
I'm the type of person that says, give me as much pass rush as possible and we'll figure it out. But I'm not sure that Eberflus is going to be that type of guy.
John Owning, Pro Football Focus here, wrapping up with you in the nation. So going into the first round at 12, where's the biggest opportunity? Are you looking for a pass rusher? You looking for one of those offensive linemen or a runner? If you could have your way, which way would they go?
Personally, I think everybody understands that Ashton Jeanty is one of the best, you know, two or three players in the entire draft, the best running back in the class, and he's a fantastic talent, but I don't think that that position is something that would be the most beneficial for the Cowboys, not only next year, but for the future. Mm-hmm. I'm someone who wants to, you know, improve the lines. Get me a pass rusher, get me a defensive tackle, get me an offensive lineman, somewhere we can win the trenches, because that was an area where so much over the last two or three seasons when the Cowboys lose, it's because they're losing the trench battle up front. I think once you win the trench battle, it makes life so much easier for everybody, all of the skill positions around it, that you don't need to allocate those types of resources to like a position like a running back, where especially in this class, when you get a guy like Omarion Hampton, Caleb Johnson, you know, even going further, you know, the Ollie Gordons of the world, the Dylan Sampsons of the world. So I just think the class is so deep, in addition to the fact that the Cowboys have so many important needs up front. I would definitely point my direction there. The one caveat I will have is if a really, really top-notch receiver falls to them at number 12, you know, like a Territory McMillan or somebody like that. I'm halfway sold on Luther Burden so far. I think he would be a great fit, but I'm just not sure that he's good enough separating within a normal route tree to warrant a top 15 pick. I'm still kind of deciding there, still early in the draft process. We'll figure that out as it goes, but I'm focusing primarily on the trenches if everything's the same.
I love it, John. Great insights. We'll catch up with you next time. Thank you so much.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Salute. You can watch John Owning, Pro Football Focus. If you want to reach out to him on X or there on the website, you're going to get a ton of great football information, as you were just treated to over the last 15 minutes. It's time for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420, buddy. Where are you taking us?
What are the 10 best individual rivalries in sports history? 877-881-1053. And can we even call Allen versus Mahomes a rivalry? That's next.